is enough. Let's just, Well, good morning. If you're a guest or whatever, if you're wondering what that is, we are in our sixth and final week of a series about losing our religion. And so we thought we'd play that song. And it's, anyway. But we are talking about how we as Christians should not be religious, although religion has its place. We've been talking about losing our religion. And so if you're a Christian this morning, a follower of Jesus, we're supposed to be like Jesus. And Jesus was not religious. The religious people hated him. He talked about grace and God's love for all. He healed on the Sabbath. He ate with sinners, etc. And so we have been in the book of Galatians, which is six chapters. And Galatians is a series of letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches in that area. And I just think that the theme of it is about losing our religion and gaining and investing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Just to kind of to go over a couple things. In Thessalonians, we are told to sober up and be serious, guys, because Jesus is coming back. Eternity awaits for all, and we should be very serious about our relationship with Jesus. And what religion will do is take that heart of that relationship away. Because, you know, I'm good and I come to church and all these good things. But we should have a heart that breaks for lost people. We should have a humble heart. We should remember, as Galatians 1 says, that the gospel without grace is no gospel at all. You are saved by the grace of God. You are saved because God loves you. You are saved because Jesus loves and died for you. And that same type of mercy and grace we should show to others in our life because God showed it to us. Galatians 2, we were told that we're to crucify our lives with Christ, and we'll hit on that today as well. And guys, it is grace alone. It is a free gift that God saves your soul, that He saves your life, that He grants you eternity. But at the same time, when you to accept that, you must surrender your life to Him. And when you do that, things will show in your life. Good works will be the result of faith. 2 weeks ago, we reminded ourselves that we're adopted, that God has adopted you as a son or a daughter, and that should warm your heart. That should affect your life. God is my Father. I want to please Him. I want to live for Him. I want to tell others about Him. Last week, Pastor Dan gave a great message about staying focused and loving God and others. And we're going to really just continue last week's message from Galatians 5 with Galatians chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles or whatever you use, go to Galatians chapter 6. It's a short chapter. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it real quick, because as I'm looking over stuff this week and praying, I'm like, man, Galatians chapter 6, there are so many things I could preach about from this chapter. What in the world do we want to focus on? There's just so much. And I want to read it and go over a couple things, and then we'll see where we settled. But it says in Galatians 6:1, it says, "Brethren, you and I, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." So, what does that mean? What do you hear in the world today? Don't judge. You're judging. No, the Bible's telling us right here that as fellow believers, that if we see a fellow believer not doing something that we're not okay with, or we think it's a gray area, borderline, but if we see them living in sin, we have a right, an obligation to go to them in love and say, "Hey, this is dangerous. What are you doing? You need to stop this because I care about you." And the Bible says if they storm away and hate you forever, that you've gained God's approval. But if they listen to you, you've gained a brother or sister. So this thing about not judging, no. If we see another Christian living in sin, we should care enough to say something about it. Verse 2 says, "To bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Guys, we're family, church family, family in Jesus Christ. And so, you know, you hear that brother, sister, that's true. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. We should love for, pray with, care for one another. This is biblical. This is very good. It goes on and says in verse 4, "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." Okay, this is a great one. Stop worrying about everybody else. Examine your own work. Examine your relationship with Christ. Examine your heart. And guys, I do this a lot. I examine my own work. Step back from religion and the scorecard and all that, and look at your life and say, "What's my work? What shows that I love Jesus? What shows that I'm a Christian? What shows that I'm giving my time and my talents and resources? What shows in how I treat people? What's my work look like for Jesus Christ?" That's a great thing to do, and I really thought about preaching about that, but it's wonderful. It goes on and says, verse 5, "For each one shall bear his own load." Verse 6, this is one of my favorite ones as a pastor. It says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." Sorry. So like I teach the word, you're supposed to share all good things with me. So Joe, keep bringing me salsa, please. Okay, thank you. Anyway, just kidding, but the Bible says it. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If you reap of the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap everlasting life. We are sowing and reaping every day in our lives. You are. Well, I'm a Christian. You're still sowing and reaping. You're making choices. You're choosing your attitudes. You're choosing your thoughts. You're choosing what you put in your mind. You're choosing what you do with your body. You're choosing what you do with your time, talents, and resources. You're choosing how you speak and how you treat people. You're making a choice. And it says right here that God is not mocked. And let me tell you something. We have deceptive hearts, and I'm good at talking people into stuff, let alone myself. And so I have to be very careful because God's not mocked. I make choices, and you make choices in life, and we're going to reap what we sow. And that's not a God's mean, he's going to punish us. No, he loves you. So if you'll learn and read and try to follow this word, you'll have good consequences. There's nothing in the Bible says to do or not do that's going to be bad for you if you follow it. It's going to be good for us. It's not always easy. We'll talk about that today. Okay. And let us not grow weary. Verse 9, if you're a follower of Jesus, this one is so huge. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't lose heart. Because let me tell you something. If you're sharing in the sufferings of Jesus, which the Bible says you will, and you're loving people and you're serving them and you're giving of yourself and you're involved and you're doing ministry and you're following Jesus, you're going to have many opportunities to get weary. Because people will disappoint you. People will hurt you. People will frustrate you. You will have more losses than wins. As a church, we're going to have more losses than wins. Even if we have 700 people here on Easter, there'll still be 4,000 or almost people in Hoopston who won't be in church. More losses than wins, but don't grow weary. For in due season, we'll reap if we don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good, especially to those who are to the household of faith. Do good. Do good. Be kind. Do good works. Bless people. And he goes on the next few verses, and we get to verses 13 through 16, which is what I landed on for today. It says this. It says, now this is the New King James. We'll do another translation in a moment. It says, for not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. Now, before we start, the word circumcised today, let's don't focus on that. Ugh, let's don't. That's rough. But of course, circumcision was something that the Jews, you know, they did. And so remember, when Paul wrote these letters to these churches, he had come and said, Jesus loves you and his salvation, his grace is for everybody, for all of God's creation. And there was a group called the Judaizers that came in afterwards and said, no, now that you're a Christian, you still have to be circumcised. You have to do all these things. And so guys, for circumcised, we can put religion, we can put all these gray areas that we put into, if you're a Christian, you'll this and you won't that. Well, what the Bible says matters, not all these things that we sometimes read into it. And so when we say circumcised today, think religion, think something else for our purposes. Verse 14 says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them from God. Anybody want peace and mercy in your life? I mean, think about peace. The world is on a nonstop quest for peace. So what do? They change their mind about what's right and wrong and what's good and what's bad. And they constantly are trying to experience everything. And if you buy something, you'll have more peace. And different religions and all these things where we try to get peace. We're always trying to get peace. Peace means being at rest. It's wholeness. It's completeness. It's being full and satisfied. That's the peace that Jesus Christ gives us. I like to be full and satisfied. I've never left a Golden Corral without being full or satisfied. That's the reason you go there. I'm not a big buffet guy, but every once in a while, I'm going to go to Golden Corral. And let me tell you, I leave full and satisfied, okay? That's why I never eat at Panera Bread, because I never leave full or satisfied. I leave broke and hungry. So, but you want to be full. You want to have that feeling of satisfaction. That's a good feeling. That's something that we yearn for. And I believe that so many believers, so many of us as Christians, don't live full, satisfied, at peace lives because religion gets in the way of us fully surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ. It gets in the way of us daily living for and surrendering to Jesus because we do religion. So I can go out this week and kind of do what I want, maybe not be what I should be. I don't need to read the Bible. I went to church Sunday. I feel good about myself. That it's good that you're here. But religion gets in the way of that full surrender. It gets in the way of sacrificing and putting others first. Our human nature, we're very inherently selfish. So we don't want to put others first or die to self because we have to do that to have life. The Bible says something must die before it can live. Jesus modeled that for us. That's so, so important that religion doesn't get in the way of us living for Jesus. So what we do now, I've got these same verses at the New Living Translation because I love the translation. So let's put that up. Same verses, here we go. And even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. So this religious thing where your life should look like this and we do this and my house runs this way and we don't watch this or go here or do that. And we'll talk in a few moments about some of that stuff does have merit. But it says that those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. So these people had come in and said, hey, you guys have to be circumcised now that you're Christians. And Paul's like, they don't keep the whole law. Why do you have to be circumcised? And we do that this day and age with religion. And that gets in the way of us following Jesus like we can. Because when I'm so worried about every little thing I can do and don't do, I get so burdened down that I'm not going to love people. Do you love people? Are you more patient with people when you're frustrated or tired or hungry? You're not, are you? Spiritually, we get frustrated and tired and hungry because we're so caught up in all the legalism, what we can do and don't do, and stuff that God's Word doesn't speak to, that we can't love like we should, which is the most important thing. He says, they only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. Oh, here we go. This to me is just humongous. This to me is why there's, at last count, there's, depending on the number, and I did a lot of research, there's between 21 and 33,000 denominations in the world. Because they only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. Well, you know, that church believes this, and we believe they... Oh, stop with that garbage. I don't think it's a good sign of a heart who calls other churches those people and those churches. And they believe that... Listen, if it's out of whack with the Bible, that's one thing. But really, typically, it's just such gray area stuff. In a heart that loves Jesus and isn't religious, you'll find what you agree upon, which is that God so loved the world that He sent Jesus to die. And holiness is important, and loving is important, and serving is important, and the Bible is important. These things are important. And he says, as for me, may I never boast about anything else except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. Wow. It doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we've been transformed into a new creation. So all this religious stuff, what matters is that you're different because you love and surrender to and follow Jesus. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. I think that is just so, so, so important. And I think we do this even within the church. I think verse 13, we do this in the church. We look at those other people and they're, oh, I'm so frustrated. They're not getting it. They're not serving enough. They're not doing enough. They're not like us. We look for our own disciples, our own cliques, our own groups, and our way is better. No, Jesus' way is better. So I want to focus on verses 14 and 15 today. Boasting about nothing else except the cross and the fact that what matters is really how we're living our lives, okay? Verse 14, Paul says, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in the world has been crucified and the world's interest in me has also died. What Paul is saying, what he's doing here, is he is recognizing the sufficiency, the completeness of what Jesus did on the cross. Hallelujah and amen. He's like, that's it. That's it. Is Jesus sufficient in your life? Okay, well, if it was done on the cross and that's it and I'm saved by grace, that's right. So is Jesus the Lord of your life? I believe that. Amen. Hallelujah. My sin was taken care of. What He did is enough. I can never do anything, but He's loved me. He's adopted me. I've surrendered my heart to Him. So that should affect, of course, how I live my life. He says, I've been crucified. This is big. He says, my interest in the world has been crucified. Now, The Bible says this isn't our home. We have an eternal destination that is glorious beyond anything this world could ever offer. So, therefore, our interest in this world has been crucified. Because if you love Jesus, you're not really that caught up in the stuff and the things of this world and this life. And I think it's so important here that Paul says has been crucified. And I want to speak now to, maybe you're here this morning and you're one of those people, you're like, well, I'm a Christian, so I don't do this and this, and I don't know what's wrong with all these people and all the rural stuff. And what Paul is saying here is so important. He's saying if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, then your interest in the world has been crucified. That's right. So you guys understand crucifixion is a long, painful process. He didn't say my interest in the world is dead. He said it's been crucified. Guys, crucifixion is brutal. It is a long, excruciating process. You're crushed to death by your own weight. You suffocate to death. It is a long, painful process. And why is this so important to you? Because being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus, it doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you come and hear a sermon, you come and pray and get saved and baptized, and then you're good. No, it's a lifelong process. And as long as you're still in these fallen bodies and this fallen world, you'll never be perfect. You should be sanctified. You should be holy. You should be striving for that. But it is a process of being alive to Jesus and loving Him and following and serving Him and being dead to the world. It is a lifelong process. Why so often as Christians don't we get that? Because we're lazy. Guys, you know that a lazy person doesn't usually get a good big paycheck? Just like a lazy Christian isn't gonna get or building towards a big reward. We can't be lazy. We have to daily die to self, commit to following Jesus, because we're inherently sinful. We're inherently selfish. We have to crucify ourselves to this world and the things of it and the sin and all the different stuff. And I'm not saying we be prudes, but we have to do that. And it's a process. So bear one another's burdens. Love that believer that you get frustrated with because their life doesn't look like yours. Because you're circumcised and they're not. Are you getting this? They still may love Jesus just as much as you do. It's a process. It's a lifelong process. But you have to be going through that process. And at times this will cause suffering. It will cause you to have to deny yourself. It can cause discomfort if you truly want to live for Jesus. Are you engaged in the process or have you stopped? Have you gotten close enough? I'm good enough. Guys, we are saved by grace alone, and the gospel without grace is no gospel at all. But to accept that and to say yes to Jesus and forgiveness and eternal life, it does mean that that will affect our lives. It just does. I have to deny myself. I have to choose to think as the Bible tells me to and renew my mind and bring thoughts captive because I'm as human as the next of you. And we all have to understand this is a process. And it's very important to be consistent with that process, to consistently be saying yes to Jesus and being crucified with Him and not living life for yourself. I have a question for you this morning. How often does something of the world or of the flesh or another person or whatever displace God in your life? How often does that happen? Or on the flip side, how often does your love for Jesus replace sin or selfishness or pride or anger or so on? Look on your calendar and see where your priorities are. Let me ask you about this last week. Did you spend 20 minutes in the Bible but 20 hours watching TV? And I'm all for TV, but what are your priorities? What's your calendar say? Look at your checkbook. We always say that, but it's true. It's very true. Look at your relationships. What about your thought process? What about your thought process? Are you a supporter or are you a complainer? The old saying that the cross was proof and is proof that sin troubles God. Does sin trouble you? I'm not saying you'll never sin again, but does it bother you? Are you trying to get it out of your life? Do you look at people who don't know Jesus and does that break your heart? They haven't just said yes to God's love, to His grace, to His gift. Does that bother you? As it says right back here in verse 4, remember what we said, that let each one examine his own work. Look at what your priorities and what your life says about how you are. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your car payment every month is more money than you give to God, what does that say about your priorities? Seriously. I know you have to have a car, but where are your priorities? See, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is important to examine. This is why it's so important to tithe. Because let me explain this real quick. Because your heart will follow your money, if all your money goes into your sports team, or into your vehicle, or into your boat, or into your house, or towards your kids, or having all the latest stuff, that's where your heart's going to be. But when you invest your heart in the kingdom, when you invest your resources in the kingdom, your heart's going to follow. When you invest in orphans and supporting children and missions and missionaries and, of course, your church, then your heart will follow. But if you have no investment, you don't really care. You can take it or leave it. That's why Jesus said that. See, this is a principle. This isn't something for me to try to convince you. This is just a principle. It just is. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your passion is, there your heart will be also. When you get extra busy, what gets sacrificed first? Time with the Lord, time in the Word. Time coming to church, when you're extra busy, what gets sacrificed first? I think it's important to examine. Verse 15, it doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. So a lot of this religious stuff and the gray area stuff, etc., what counts is whether you've been transformed into a new creation. What counts is, although you're saved by grace, what counts is how you live your life. What counts is how you love people. What counts is whether you forgive or not. See, relationship with Jesus trumps every religion every single time. A fully devoted relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, it costs. Although the grace and the salvation are free, following Jesus costs. Because you and I are naturally selfish and sinful and argumentative and rebellious and stubborn, and we have to put that to death. And it costs. What is your relationship with Jesus costing you? I fasted this week. It cost me meals. I hate that. Who wants to skip a meal? What's the first thing you do when you get up in the morning? What's for breakfast? And after breakfast, you start thinking, what am I going to do for lunch? And then you've already, if you have kids, you've thought, hey, what's for supper? Right? So the Bible says when you fast. So your relationship with Jesus will cost you meals. It cost me meals this week. I had a tithe check for the offering this morning. It cost me money. I got stuff I could do with that money. I got bills to pay just like you do. But I believe that Jesus is number one in my life. I believe the church is important. I believe God tells me to do that, so I should do it. Following Jesus in a devoted way will cost you, but it will always deliver so much more than anything else. I've invested in a lot of other stuff and people and pleasures and things, and they don't deliver. They might for a while, and some do, but being transformed is what counts into a new creation. Romans 12:2 says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by changing how you think. And can I let you guys in on a secret? I'm 39 years old, and a lot of you have already been like, hey, happy you're 40. I'm not 40 yet, so you can just keep that to yourself. But I still have to be very careful with what I watch and listen to, etc. It matters. And I've been through seasons where I let that slip a little. And it's not good. It begins to affect me. Well, you're the pastor. You're 39. You got kids and your response. It matters what I... Listen, I like TVs and movies and sports, but I have to be careful what's on there. I have to be very careful because it affects me. And guys, there's stuff in your life that being on the list, they affect you. Don't be deceived. You're affected by that stuff. You have to be very careful. But for some of you here today, you hear this and you get motivated. You don't need to add Jesus to your life or add more Jesus to your life. You need to give your life to Jesus. And that's a statement that can be true for the person who calls themselves a Christian. I need to come to church more. I do need to read my Bible more. Absolutely. Jesus needs your heart. He needs it. Not 3/4 of it. I'm going to 75%. It's going to be 90%. No. You've got to be His. That's the only response to an amazing love and an amazing grace that would come down to earth and die for you, that would adopt you, that would save your soul, that would save you from your sins. That's the appropriate response. And there's stuff in our lives that we need to sacrifice. And see, here's what religion will do and why it's so important to lose your religion. Because religion will allow you to have a scorecard. Religion will allow you to keep score of how I'm better than I used to be, which is important. Religion will allow you to say that there's more good than bad. Religion will allow you to say that I'm better than that person. Religion will let you say that you don't need to serve. Here's the one of the worst things religion can do. And if you're taking notes, don't forget to write this one down. And if you're not, listen to this one. Religion will allow you to love your church without being a part of your church. Oh, please listen in 2016, America. Religion will allow you to love your church without being a part of the church. Religion will allow you to just love it. Man, I'm so Church of God, I've heard good things. People are friendly and the coffee and the pastor's all right. And it's nice to have a decent church and all that. That's religion. Are you tithing? Are you serving? Are you connected with people around you? Do you pray with people here? Do you fast for your church? Do you fast for me and pray? Do you? What about our community and the lost? Are you part of the church? Now, don't get mad and never come back, but this is true for churches as a whole. This is true for pastors. We're taught this in leadership training, and this is true for you. If you never step foot in this place again, would it matter? Because it should. You should be a prayer warrior. You should be giving and serving and be a part. You should be involved in people's lives. Religion will let you love your church without being part of the church. And that's sad. Because the church is us. It's the people. It's the people of God who are following Jesus. And religion will allow you to bypass that. Because I just love the church and I come, so I'm good. What about your prayer life? What are you filling your mind with? Again, it matters. Guys, God has adopted you. Jesus has paid the ultimate price. You are loved. You are free. You're an adopted son or daughter of God. Do you just believe in Jesus or are you a follower of Jesus? Guys, there is a spiritual battle going on right now in some of your hearts and lives. There's an enemy of your soul who doesn't want you to hear this. Doesn't want you to believe or respond to this. It's as real as the chair you're sitting in. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit's speaking to your hearts this morning. Here's a question, verse 15. Dan, we're going to close in just a second. It doesn't matter whether you've been circumcised or not, all this other stuff. What counts is whether we've been transformed into a new creation. I need you to ask yourself this morning and be honest. If you're a Christian, you've put your faith in Jesus, you've been baptized. How different are you today than when you were first a brand new believer? That's a very important question. Have you slid right back? Have you not made the changes that needed to be changed? Are you growing? Are you crucifying this world and yourself and all this stuff? Because it is a long, painful process. I'm still right in the middle of it. It's a long, painful process. But are you a new creation? Man, I love our church. You guys, most of you, our staff, our elders. You know, a year ago, we had a vision to do youth ministry and raised 50 grand or so in one Sunday. And now we've got a youth center. I'll talk about that before we leave. Easter's coming up. 2 weeks to Easter. We're planning on 600 people here on Easter, 3 services. But a lot of that's up to us. Have you been fasting that people would come to church and people would come and hear the gospel and respond to Jesus Christ? Have you been praying? Have you even been praying for Easter? What about, have you been inviting people? Because if not, please start. Guys, God wants to explode this church and the churches in Hoopston. He wants revival. He wants darkness turned to light and death to life. He wants that here. Let me tell you something. Whether that's going to happen or not will be up to you and I. Well, He's God. That's right. And He's placed us here to be the hands and feet. It's not about religion. Forget religion. It's about Jesus Christ. And we will live lives that are fully devoted to Him. Not me. Not the people around you. When you will. When you'll stop this, and I'll just call it baloney. There's strong church language. This baloney of, oh, the church that, and we want your money, we're this, and we believe that, and that's wrong. Stop that garbage and examine whether you're in love with Jesus or not. That He died and gave His life for you. And that's really all that matters, is you following Him. That your life's not about you, it's about others. And set down all the stuff and love people. But love does. Love is a verb. So today as we sing, I want you to stay seated. But as we sing today, what I'm going to ask you to do is just stand up as we sing if Jesus is, or you will put him first in your life. If you will crucify some things today as part of that process. If you'll start that process again. If maybe you'll be willing to change something. If you'll say, you know what, I'm not ashamed of Jesus, and he won't be ashamed of the Father on my behalf. I want you to stand as we sing. If maybe you'll begin again to becoming a new creation. Or if maybe you'll suffer the crucifixion of a sin in your life, or the self in your life, or something in your life to gain Jesus, I want you to stand as we sing. And don't stand out of peer pressure. If you can't, that's all right. I'll be praying for you. Stand if you believe that Jesus gave his life to save you from your sins, and that should elicit a response on your behalf, that he so loved you that he came and died and suffered for you. Jesus said that we have to lose our life to save it. He said, you've got to lose your life to save it. I love you. I forgive you. I give you eternal life. I'm coming back for you. You have an eternity that is glorious beyond your wildest dreams, but you have to lose your life for my sake. But maybe so often you won't even misplace your life for his sake. Stand as we sing. We're supposed to lose our life for his sake, and so often we won't lose it for an hour to come to church for a Bible study. We won't lose our own pride or self to forgive someone or to say, I'm sorry. We're supposed to lose our life for his sake, and we won't even set it aside for a moment so often. Is there anything worth your soul? What would it gain if you gain this whole world that you're supposed to be crucifying yourself to anyway, but you don't have a soul that belongs to Jesus Christ? So forget religion. You know how I feel? It's like the old song, oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Jesus loves and gave his life for me, and he's been patient and is patient with me. And because of that, I love him, and I want to serve him, and I want to please him, and I want to be used by him. And I get benefit from that too, because he loves me and wants the best for me. As a husband, as a father, as a pastor, as a friend, and I still blow it, but you know what? He's patient. He loves, he forgives. He's right alongside me. And his Holy Spirit's right here. And you know what? To me, that's worth living for. That's worth dying for. So why not lose your life for his sake? As we sing today, I would just ask you to stand as God works on your heart.